Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight, the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo.
And I'm Bob Retall. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog.
The comics we'll be talking about in this episode are from the November previews for items that begin shipping in January 2009. So we're already talking about 2009 comics. How cool is that?
I don't know if it's cool. Makes me just feel old.
Well, there is that. We got submissions from a bunch of people. We see how many podcasts we got represented this month.
7 other podcasts and 2 fans who don't have their own podcasts yet.
Yeah, give them time. Everyone's getting one.
Who nonetheless sent in a couple of clips for us, which we appreciate, and remind everybody that we have an open submission policy. Anyone who wants to talk about something that catches their eye from the current previews or the online solicits, just feel free to send something in. And every month I have a thread on our forum that talks about this. If you want to submit, you can go on that thread and kind of call dibs on a book. And I also have links on that thread to all the online solicits that start going up about 2 to 3 weeks before previews hits the street. Actually, about 2 weeks before previews hits the street. And I also, when previews hits the street on that day, the Diamond order form is available on their website, and I put a link to that also, the PDF of that. It's not the whole previews catalog, but at least it's the text of the order form, so you can see all the different items and what the suggested retail prices of them are.
And if you have any questions on how to record an audio submission, come to our forum and ask. We'll be happy to help you out. The whole purpose of these episodes is to not only spotlight comics that are coming out, but just ones that Bob and I are planning and getting and strike our, you know, interest. But what a lot of people and like all these other podcasters and our listeners are interested in getting too. Because, I mean, previews is 500 plus pages a month plus the 100 or so for the Marvel previews. There's a lot of stuff in here. It's easy for things to get lost in the shuffle. And, you know, I mean, I want to hear what you guys are interested in too, because that's how I'm picking up a number of new titles.
Right. There are a couple of things that I'm getting this month that I missed, even on my looking at the online solicits, reading through previews cover to cover, and being on the preview Skype call, that somebody sent in a clip about it, and it's like, oh, I missed that. That sounds pretty cool. That's why we do this, to give people some heads up about things that seem interesting. So we're starting off this month with Damien. Want to give him a special shout out this month. He's moving to a new house. His internet connection's not properly set up in his new house yet. And he kind of jumped through a couple of loops to drag all the stuff into work and email it to us from work so he could get his submissions in this month.
And that's definitely appreciated, because like virtually I think all but one of the things he's recommending this month is stuff that I don't read. And again, it's good to have that diversity of opinions and tastes represented here.
Yeah, and he has been on almost every show. He's one of our perennial people who comes in and represents some nice, diverse, interesting picks. So with that, Damien's first pick.
Hey guys, it's Damien back with my first pick for this month, which is Grendel Devil's Reign. Now, I've been a huge fan of Grendel for a long time, and this is sort of the start of the Orion Asante saga, which goes through that into Warchild, where you have his son Juniper actually going through there, where we get to meet Grendel Prime and everything like that. But basically, this is him taking control of North America. The church has actually fallen to corruption. There's upheaval across North America, and there's an infestation of vampires as well. So his job is literally to clear that out and to take control, and he tried to bring it together under the Grendel Khan. If you haven't read this stuff, it was originally came out from Kamiko, then it was reprinted by Dark Horse through Devil's Reign itself rather than the normal run. If you haven't read, I really recommend this, because This was actually Tim Sale's first major comic series as well, and I just love this series. I put all of the books for it. I'm going to grab the trades for it as well, just so I've got them as easy access as well. But if you haven't seen it before and you want to read it and you want to see what Tim Sale did for his first work, you know, grab this. Matt Wagner did the cover and actually was the writer for it as well. So definitely grab this one, guys. I can't recommend the Grendel stuff enough. I've been loving it for many years. Okay, back to Bob and John.
Thanks for sending that in, Damien. Grendel is not a character I've followed over the years, but I know it's definitely got a following and stuff. So
yeah, and I actually read Grendel, and I like Grendel. I haven't read this since it first came out from Kimiko way back when. I've been picking up some of the Grendel stuff for my bookshelf, kind of like Damien has been, although I've been hitting some of the hardcover. So on this one, I'll probably wait until the inevitable hardcover comes out on it, but it is a really nice series. That was our only Dark Horse pick this month. We're going to now shoot forward into the DC section, and we've got Mike Myers.
Hello, everybody. This is Mike Myers from the Geek Brunch Podcast and DC Noise Podcast, and I'm here to plug Final Crisis number 7, written by Grant Morrison, art by Doug Monkey and Christian Alami. Covers by J.G. Jones and Doug Monkey. I've been really enjoying Final Crisis and all its tie-ins, with maybe the exception of this Final Crisis Superman Beyond, but I just think they're very good storytelling, and I'm loving the art. Even though the artist is changing, I love Monkey's art as well. I just kind of disappointed about the consistency of the book. But I think Grant Morrison is knocking it out of the park as far as writing to Jack Kirby's characters. I think Kirby would appreciate what he's doing, and I can see a love for it, especially based on reading some of the old Jack Kirby archives and stuff like that. In this solicit, it's the dramatic finale to the epic 7-part saga of the DC multiverse concludes with this apocalyptic battle for soul of humanity that must be seen to be believed. And it says, can the heroes of the 52 Earths save the multiverse? And is the only way to save it is to change it forever? I guess we'll see if this is just like a standalone event or if it's going to have ramifications across the entire DC universe. We'll have to wait to find out. But check it out.
I'm extremely interested in what's going on at the internals at DC when they have a major event book that they change the artist for the final issue.
Well, I think it's a scheduling thing, and I think that DDO's gone on record that they realized that by the time they were getting the script pages for 6 and 7, there was no way that J.G. Jones could do it on time, and that it wasn't so much his fault. But that's still a problem. They should have had the script pages sooner. I'm going to go on record here is saying that I think that Final Crisis 7 is probably going to be the most important issue for DC of the year. Hell, probably of both 2008 and 2009. In terms of where things are left off at the end of this is going to have a major ramifications for DC. Whether it's ramifications for the DC universe or not. Because if for some reason it's not really connected to what happens in the main books, then that, I think, is going to hurt DC. If it is connected and changes the status quo for everybody, obviously that's going to have major ramifications. But I think right now, between little things like changing the artist and some minor delays on this, whatever, and a lot of the other things going on at DC, they've burned off a lot of goodwill, and this is either going to help get some of it back or burn off even more. So, yeah. And particularly the whole, are they going to save the multiverse or change it forever? That has me a little excited, very interested, but also a little worried.
People are going to like it or not. And I think it's going to be either okay, that's a lot better than I thought it was going to be. I'm going to give DC more of a chance. Or it's going to be people who've had a little bit of unrest using it as an excuse to turn away.
I'm afraid that even if people like it, they may use it as an excuse to turn away. It may be a good story, but not position the universe or universes how they think it ought to be. So I think this is going to be very pivotal and influential on how DC does for the next year or so.
Well, I'm I'm hoping that it turns around into a note. I mean, this is a series that's got very strong opinions one way or another, and I can respect Mike's opinion, and I think lots of people are in the camp where they think this is masterful storytelling, but then I've heard also on the other half a lot of people who are completely mystified by what the heck is going on and just have – and I'm one of those people. I just don't get what is going on in this, and I'm hoping that number 7 is going to turn around and leave me with something of a light bulb of, oh, that's what happened in this series. Because if this series ends up and I'm still scratching my head, I'm sorry. I'll be in the, pulling back on some things myself.
Yeah, and that's the exact reason why I think it's going to be potentially so influential and important for DC.
Now, this leads into the Faces of Evil event that's running through a lot of the DC books in January. And let's tee that up with the next selection from Mike.
My next selection follows the previous one. It's on page 66, and it's Faces of Evil Grundy number 1. It's written by Scott Collins and Jeff Johns, with art by Scott Collins, the covers by Shane Davis and Sandra Hope. I love this creative team. What they've done with the Rogues Revenge, I just absolutely loved. I thought it was some of the best Rogues storytelling in the history of the Flash. And it was amazing how the Rogues work as a whole unit. Probably better than any other Rogues gallery, in my opinion. I love what they've done with the Flash, and I think they're going to knock it out of the park with Grundy. And the solicit reads, "The Marshmont Monster stars in his first solo book ever. Who is the man who would be reborn as Solomon Grundy? Discover the secret history of the creature as his curse is explored and redefined in this one-shot special." The last time that I saw Solomon Grundy, I believe, was in the Salvation Run miniseries, and I think he perished in there. But this one is on sale January 7, 32 pages, one shot, full color, $2.99. And also check out the other Faces of Evil, which have Prometheus, Deathstroke, and Cobra. They're all really good creative teams, so they ought to be good. Plus all the wonderful covers coming out of DC this month with villains on them. I love DC villains. Now back to Bob and John.
I'm glad Jeff Johns is involved in that, because I think with the exploration and redefinition of Grundy's curse, that I'm sure Jeff Johns will have a cool take and a neat spin on that.
And given that the Faces of Evil is running through, you got it in Superman and Batman and Nightwing and Robin and Detective, just Action Comics, it's all over the place in the DCU in January. There are a tremendous number of books that are in this Faces of Evil. I don't know if we want to call it an event, but
it's a theme.
It is kind of speaking to me, and pure speculation, but it's almost speaking that you're not going to have an upbeat, good, triumphing over evil conclusion to Final Crisis.
Well, consider the fact that Final Crisis 7 ships on January 28th at the end of the month, and the majority of these things for the Faces of Evil are shipping before that.
Ah, okay. Good point.
So there's been some speculation that the Faces of Evil is kind of a stalling tactic for DC to fill out a month while Final Crisis wraps up. Hopefully that's not the case and we're going to get some good stories, which I'm sure we will.
So this actually could be just a lot of the villain kind of stuff that's running around while evil is moving towards the final conclusion of Final Crisis. That's actually a little bit better. I'm glad you pointed that out. Okay, let's move on to Hassan, who has got one pick for us this month.
Hi, this is Hassan from the Forum. Before I begin, I want to thank John and Bob for having me on this Run for a Program. My recommendation is Batman the Outsider Special No. 1, written by Peter Tomasi, art and cover by Adam Kubert and John Dell. This special, it launches a brand new direction, spinning out Batman RIP and DC Universe Last Hero Testament. Now, you might be wondering, okay, another new direction for Batman the Outsiders? Yeah, I thought the same thing, but here's a couple of reasons why I should pick this up. One is, they seem to be bringing back the original members of Batman and the Outsiders together. On the covers, Black Lightning and Halo, with some of the other members that have already joined the team. The other thing, it's written by Pia Tomase, who's an up-and-coming DC writer. He's doing a great job on Nightwing Green Lantern Corps, and he did a great job on Black Adam miniseries that came out about a year ago. So I'm excited about this book. I haven't been excited, you know, for Batman the Outsiders in a long time. I haven't been a big fan of the current series, but, you know, I think this is going to be awesome. It's $3.99, and before you go, oh, $3.99, it is has extra pages, unlike Marvel books where they charge you $3.99 without giving you extra pages. And if you order from DCBS, you get 50% off, and it's only $1.99. So I would say, hey, if you're going to try any book this month, try this book. Thanks.
One thing I do find interesting about this new direction is it's going to be continued in the pages of February's Outsiders number 15. So they're dropping the Batman and. So this is another kind of name change for the book, and it's only been less than a year and a half since the last one. So hopefully they've got a good direction for this, and we'll see.
Yep.
Our next pick is on page 80, and that's Supergirl number 37. This, too, is one of the Faces of Evil issues, which I find a little confusing because on the cover we've got the new Superwoman, and then the implication, since she's on the cover and it's a Faces of Evil thing, is maybe she's not a good person, which I hope isn't the case. I've been a fan of the Superwoman character since she first showed up in some of the DC Comics Presents annuals back in the 80s. This is a completely different character, of course, but, you know, it's a cool extension of the Superman mythos. And, you know, we get the new Superwoman, and Supergirl's trying to figure out who she is and, you know, why does she get to wear the S? And this is the first of a 5-part story and ties into the whole new Krypton stuff and promises ramifications on the Superman family. We've got a DCBS discount that we recommended, so it's a 50% off versus the normal 40% off. So check it out, see what you think.
And our next pick is on page 83. It's Green Lantern number 38, another Faces of Evil tie-in, another one that we have recommended for a special discount, 50%. And this is the War of Light ignites as the first battle with the Red Lanterns comes to a blood-fueled conclusion. So we have Atrocitus, the leader of the Red Lanterns, and a new Green Lantern law unveiled, plus the Guardians of the Orange Light reveal themselves. So lots of stuff going on in this issue. And the Green Lantern stuff has been, along with what Geoff Johns and James Robinson have been doing over on Superman, the shining points of light in the DC universe for me over the last 6 months. That's kind of what's keeping me going with DC. So this Green Lantern right here, this is highly recommended.
Yeah, I think he's doing just some brilliant stuff, extending the scope of the Green Lantern stuff. I mean, it's one thing to have just the Green Lantern Corps, but now the Red Lanterns, the Yellow Lanterns, all this stuff. I'm not going to say it's a horribly unique idea or whatever. It's something that seems fairly obvious on the face of it, but he's just doing some brilliant stories with it. So, I mean, definitely, you know, Geoff Johns is a key player at DC these days. And one of the other things he's doing that I'm really enjoying is our next pick, and that's Justice Society of America number 23 on page 86. We've also got a 50% discount through DCBS on this. It's also a Faces of Evil thing, and of course, who are we going to have there but Black Adam. This is part one of a story, and basically Black Adam is trying to figure out just what exactly Felix Faust has done with his wife Isis. And of course, that can't possibly bode well for Felix Faust. So they're going to, again, tie this into some of what happened in 52, some of what happened after 52 in the Black Adam miniseries, which again, you know, followed the whole Isis thing and, you know, follow up on the story here, which is a great place to do it. Geoff Johns has always had a really good grasp of this character, has told some fun stuff with it. I'm really looking forward to this story arc. And then next up, we've got a clip that takes us into the Johnny DC area. Let's listen to that.
Hey, Comic Book Page podcast listeners, this is Chris Johnson with a previews pick that appears on page 98 of the November previews catalog, and that pick is Super Friends number 11. Now, this is the Super Friends comic book. It's part of the Giant DC line. It's aimed at a younger readership, and it's not a book that I ever thought that I personally would pick up. But reading the copy for this particular issue, I found out that one of my favorite, more obscure characters from comics, Bad Mite, will be making an appearance in this comic. And it looks like Mr. Mixelplick as well will be appearing. And so we might get a bit of a callback to their team-ups in the old World's Finest Comics. And I'm personally a big fan of Bad Mite, the little hijinks he'd get into and the trouble he'd cause trying to help Batman in his 50s and 60s stories. So I think this will be a fun story. And if there are any other Bad Mite fans out there, this might be a comic you want to pick up.
The cover for this one just looks like a lot of fun, with the various Justice Leaguers, or Super Friends, I guess, kind of decked out as other versions of Batman. So this was one that had caught my eye, too, so definitely looks interesting.
Next, we dive into Wildstorm, with another pick from Mike Myers.
This is Mike Myers again from the Geek Brunch and DC Noise podcast, and plugging my last DC or Wildstorm book is Mysterious the Unfathomable by Jeff Parker, and with art and cover by Tom Fowler. And it's got a preview pages on page 102 through 104, and that's what sold me on this particular comic. Also, the art looked like Mike Plug artwork to me, so it looked very interesting. But the blurb reads, "Will all patrons please be seated? Tonight you'll witness supernatural feats that no mortal mind can comprehend. Your very senses will reel as Mysterious the Great takes a stage after years of absentia. And now please welcome his newest stalwart, the brave and beautiful assistant who will accompany our host on a journey beyond the boundaries of science and reason, the lovely Delphi. And now I'll join hands." And the cover price is $2.99. It's 6 issues. And it seems like he has the ability to go in and visit people that are dead or in the land of the unliving and talk to them for various people that might pay him, I guess. And he can be the medium for them. But it seems very interesting. And he has like this gun that floats in front of him that looks really cool. And as he goes to the land of the unliving, all the undead talk to him, like to try to, like he might even have the ability to pull them back into the land of the living. So that, it just seems really interesting, and the artwork is really nice. So give it a shot. Hopefully DCBS will have like a 50% discount. If not, they'll give you 40% off. So give it a shot. And now back to Bob and John.
I looked at the preview art. I think it's really nice when DC does this with a new series, because they've got 3 pages of art from the new series, kind of a sneak peek. And it's got the text also, the word balloons. So you can just go here, pages 102, 103, and 104 of the previews catalog, and have a read. And if this is something that looks interesting to you, then definitely that's going to give you a good indication on whether you'd like to pick that up or not. Next up, we've got Damien diving into Vertigo for us.
Hey everyone, it's Damien back again from Welcome to Heavenside with my next pick, which actually comes from Vertigo, which is the Complete Death Deluxe hardcover. Now, if you haven't read The Sandman, really, I've told people before, you should read it. It's one of Neil Gaiman's best works as far as I'm concerned. I've been reading a lot of his stuff. Now, this was actually a couple of spin-off miniseries that actually came from that series. So you actually had Death, The High Cost of Living. You've got Death, Time of Your Life. You've got the Death Talks About Life AIDS pamphlet. And there's stories from Vertigo, Winter's Edge number 2, and The Sandman, Endless Nights. This is the first time they've actually collected it all together. You've been able to get the collections of the 2 miniseries before, but they didn't have all the other work in there before as well. So you can get it all together there. Now, I'm sure most of you have been getting the Absolute Sandmans as well, so this will actually sit quite nicely on the shelf with it. So you've got the 4 of them, you can have this there, you've got the whole lot, there's nothing to worry about. Honestly, I would recommend this one. A hardcover, $34.95, it's on page 113. Just go and get it, man, it's great. Okay then, back to the guys.
So I agree that this is fabulous material. One thing that I will give people a bit of a caution on is that it's solicited as a oversized hardcover that's the perfect companion for the Absolute Sandman. Yet, I mean, it's oversized in that it's slightly larger than a normal comic book. It's 7 inches by about 11 inches, but it's nowhere near the size of an Absolute, and it is not an Absolute. And my worry with DC lately is that, you know, 6 months from now, they're going to be putting out an Absolute Death, and, you know, in a slip case. And, you know, it's the same thing. They did that with the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen Black Dossier. They put out a hardcover of it, and then almost as soon as that had come out, they solicited an Absolute version of it. This is maybe an interesting topic for one of your collected comics library shows with Chris, John.
Yeah, yeah.
DC's policy on some of these things has me pulling back sometimes. And I know we're all about being positive here, so I don't want to like really go into a negative necessarily on this one, because this is fabulous material. And for people who are not collecting the Absolutes, this is going to be a great way to get all this material in one place. My personal feeling, though, since I am collecting the Absolutes, is I'm not going to get this, because I'm kind of feeling at some point DC's going to do an Absolute Death. And I don't want this one and the Absolute.
You know, trying to give some constructive criticism to DC here, they've got to realize that by doing things like they did with the Black Dossier, they're essentially encouraging, if not flat-out training readers, to take a wait-and-see approach. If in the solicitation they had said, hey, we're not going to do an Absolute, or it won't be for another year, or whatever, that would have given you the information you needed and may have actually gotten you to buy this.
Yeah, well, if they do an Absolute 5 years from now, I can wait, because I have the original comics, you know. So
fair enough.
If I'm going to get a collected edition for my shelf, I want it in the ultimate format that I want it in. I actually did the same thing with when those Justice hardcovers came out. You know, I ultimately want to get that, but I know they're going to do some kind of Absolute or something of that down the line too. So
yeah, yeah.
You know, again, it's a fair enough format for people who just want to get the material and read it. It is very good material. Talking about that, I'm going to move into House of Mystery number 9 on page 117. I've really, really been enjoying this series by Matthew Sturgis and Bill Willingham. We talked about issue number 1 on one of the episodes of Weekly Comic Spotlight. And I've just been really digging this series as it goes along. We follow the characters who are in the House of Mystery, but then one of the coins of the realm there are telling stories. And in each issue, they have kind of a mini story that's one of the patrons of the bar in the House of Mystery telling a story. And the thing that's really interesting about House of Mystery 9 is Bernie Wrightson is coming back, and he's the one who is doing this little side story that happens in the issue. And I'm very excited to see Bernie Wrightson back doing House of Mystery story. And this is one of our comic book page picks for the month, DCBS 50% off. Again, page 117. And I think that does it for DC, Wildstorm, and Vertigo. We're going to move into Image now.
And our first pick in Image is, of course, from Damian. Let's listen to that.
Okay, this next one actually had me really excited when I first turned to the first page of the actual Image section, and you actually get to see a picture of Dawn on there. I've been a huge fan of Dawn for a long, long time, and so Joseph Michael Linzer has been a big influence on, you know, books that I collected when I first discovered Dawn. Well, Lucifer's Halo, I would have to admit, was probably one of the first things I actually picked up, and from there I've actually gone back and tried to get everything else that I can from it. But this one really sunk hard with me. You actually have Dawn herself, who's the incarnation of the goddess there. You have her lover, which is the incarnation of Canunus, which is one of the Celtic gods. There's all sorts of things going on in there. The artwork is just spectacular. If you've never looked at one of these books, you honestly have to. If you go to linzer.com, you can probably see a lot of his artwork there as well. But they've actually collected it for a 20th anniversary trade paperback, so I will be getting this one, just so I've got a copy that easy reach, so I don't have to go digging through boxes yet again for things. I seem to be doing that a lot these days, but yeah, oh, if you haven't read Dawn, this is something that I just love. There's a lot of pagan overtones. It rang out to me with this, and yeah, you've really got to see this one if you haven't read it before. It's $17.99, and it's 208 pages on page 146. Go and get it, guys. You just have to.
Thanks, Damien. And I'm also a huge fan of the Dawn character, and Linsner's art is just gorgeous. Just looking at the pictures without even reading it is an option, it would seem. He has just a really nice style that I like. That is a great package. If you've never read any of the Dawn stuff, this is a good introduction. Our next pick is the Pax Romana trade paperback, another comic book page pick for the month on page 147, 50% off. This is by Jonathan Hickman, who people might remember from Nightly News. He did Transhuman. He's done other Red Mass for Mars. And he does have a distinct graphic design style to his work. And if you like his work, this is really something that is going to hit your sweet spot, because he's got a very distinctive look and feel to his books. They really stand out on the stands. And this is the trade paperback collection of the four-issue series, Pax Romana, that involves 5,000 men sent back in time to save the future. Well, they're sent back in time by the Vatican Science Center, so depending on your point of view, how much saving they're going to do can be one way or another. But we have an interview with Jonathan Hickman on our Previews interview show that's going to go up for November on this Friday. So I won't talk any more about this, because we have a much more extensive conversation with Jonathan about this book and some of his other work. So if you're interested, certainly you're going to want to check this out. We've got a special discount here for you, so you can check it out at a relatively decent price. It'll only be $7.50. And also check out our interview on Friday.
And next up, we've got a clip from Harry talking about Dynamo 5. Let's listen to that.
Greetings, everyone. This is Harry from the Next Issue Podcast, and from page 150 of the Previews Guide for the month of November, Dynamo 5, issue number 0 by Image Comics. Stories done by Jay Fabrera, art and cover by Mahmoud A. Asrar and Ron Riley. And if you heard me talk a little bit earlier about The Boys, Dynamo 5 is another series that I enjoy because it finds a way at poking fun at our mainstream heroes, in this case, Superman. If you've never read Dynamo 5 before, just think what would happen if you took Superman, dropped in a little bit of Captain Kirk, and let him go around and have his little dalliances, and his dalliances got him in at least six. If you read the book, you know what I'm saying when I say six. Six pieces of trouble when there are kids out there of his to be found, and all of them have some of his power. So, taking that into account, these kids get together, they form a super group, and they go out and fight evil. But it's not just as cut and dry as that. They all have real life that they have to attend to. Captain Dynamo, who is the Superman analog of this story, his wife has to come to grips that, you know, she has to make sure that these kids get everything that they need to balance their regular life as well as being a superhero. And then, of course, she has to balance herself in knowing that this man, Captain Dynamo, who was once her husband, deal with the fact that, you know, these are his kids and that she's looking at the end result. So far, it's been pretty good. I've liked the fact that this team has had its ups and downs. It almost reads like it could be something on WB, but just a little bit grittier. And again, as I said, if you've read the series, you've seen the twists, the turns, and the little surprises that have come out, and gotten a chuckle that another book written by another independent company decided to take a swing at one of our quote-unquote beloved superheroes of all time, an American icon like Superman, and reduced it down to, hey, you know, Superman wasn't always super. He had some flaws. He had some issues. So I would think that issue number zero is a good start if you want to kind of pick up and see what's going on, but I would definitely recommend getting the trades before you really jump in, because this is another book where you can't jump in the middle and understand everything that's going on. You definitely will want to go back to the beginning and see how it all started, how these kids got together, their trials, their tribulations, and their near defeats as they overcame. And of course, they still have some issues going on, but then again, like I said, this book is full of them. And speaking of issues, this is Harry from the next issue, and I am out.
We talked with Jay Ferber and have a really good interview with him that'll be in our Friday episode. We also have this as one of our picks of the month through DCBS at half off. So for 49 cents, you can get this. It's only 16 pages, but I think he said, what, at least 12 pages of that is art and story, and then there's a two-page text piece that's kind of a recap of what's gone before. So this is a really good jumping-on point. And for 49 cents, how can you go wrong?
Yeah, this is one of my favorite Image series. I mean, it's Jay Ferber stuff and the Kirkman stuff. I mean, that really, really does it for me. I really like this. So if you have never tried Dynamo 5 for 99 cents at your regular store or 49 cents at DCBS, you got to try this issue. Okay, let's jump to another pick from Mike Myers.
Mike Myers again, and the next book I'll be talking about is from Shadowline, and it's called Heathentown. It's an original graphic novel written by Karina Sarah Bicco with art and cover by Gabriel Hardman. And it's 96 pages black and white, and the cover price is $9.99. And the blurb reads, when Anna travels deep within the Florida Everglades to attend her lover's funeral, she finds herself in an eerie small town where death is but a horrible beginning. In an attempt to discover the truth, she digs up her lover's coffin, starting a chain reaction which brings an ancient malevolence into town bent on her destruction. This book sounds like a lot of horror and suspense all wrapped into one. And I looked at the preview. They have 3 pages on that 1 page of preview art, and it looks pretty nice. I think I'm going to enjoy this. And it's a done-in-one, and it looks pretty good. Give it a shot. Back to Bob and John.
I like when we get a bunch of art, you know, when we get a preview, but frankly, when they do the 3 pages really tiny like this, my eyes aren't what they used to be. It's hard for me to parse that.
Yeah, but I'd rather get 3 pages than just maybe one or none at all. And certainly, actually,
oh yeah,
I think it's funny because the black and white pages for this, I think, are a lot easier to kind of figure out what's going on than on the previous page where they got a few in color for that zombie cop thing.
Right.
That's dark, and the paper quality for previews is, you know, not, you know, stellar, nor should it be.
Yeah, well, I agree. I do think that having the black and white, it makes it easier to understand what's going on there.
But I totally see your point, particularly on the previous page. There's between the size and the dark colors, it's a little hard to tell what's going on, but interesting. Next up, we've got another pick from Damien. Let's listen to that.
Hey guys, it's Damien back again, and this time I'm actually going to recommend another Archibald one, which is Archibald Chases the Dragon. Now, we've seen him actually fighting off Christmas, you've seen him versus, you know, numerous things before, and Grant's actually brought it back again with him chasing the dragon. Interesting idea, basically the idea of Archibald Aardvark thought the murders of his brother were solved, but when a stranger tips him off to a cover-up, he travels to Little China in search for the compassionate wind of death. So, you know, it's basically continuing on from where he left off before. You've also got him going on through his drug stupors again. This is not a book for kids. I wouldn't recommend it for kids. There's a lot of drug references, nameless violence, but it's fun. You know, Grant's been a good friend of mine for a while. He's the actual one who did the picture of Brian and myself for the cryptographic logo. And, you know, I cannot support his stuff enough. So if you haven't seen it before, if you haven't picked up any of the Archibald books before, I would recommend going to get it. And, yeah, start with this one, page 166. It's going to be 350, 32 pages, but it's really worth it. You know, Grant's work is just lovely. Okay, back to the guys.
Okay. We had Archibald. He saved Christmas. He saved other holidays, and now he's going after a dragon. So if you've read any of the previous Archibald books, then this one is yet another that you'll probably enjoy also.
One of the things I like about these preview pages is it really shows how they're using the color of red versus the rest that's more or less black and white.
That does make it pop out. I like that, too.
So that's cool. On page 70 is our next pick. This is also a comic book page pick of the month through DCBS at 50% off. And it's Velocity number 1. This is one of the things that made it through the pilot season, in this case, for 2007. One thing to note is that the pilot season issue was done by Kevin McGuire. The art on this is done by Chris Cross. So they've changed things up a little bit. I'm looking forward to this. It should be a lot of fun. And, you know, it's nice to see that Top Cow is I think, taking a very, you know, good approach of putting some stuff out there, seeing what the reaction is from the readers, and then going with what looks most successful.
And it's still written by Joe Casey.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you like the story, and especially if you like Chris Cross's art, he's a good artist. This is going to be, you know, a continuation of the Velocity character. Next, we have one more pick from Damien to round out the Image Top Cow section of the catalog.
Hey guys, it's Damien back again with something which is a little unusual, but, you know, it caught my eye when I was going through it. I've been getting Witchblade for a while. I started off back in the beginning, I stopped for quite a while, and I've been getting it again since. But I noticed this Witchblade ring in the New Year pack. Now, basically, to celebrate the new year, they're doing a random assortment of 10 past issues of Witchblade, and they're putting it at $9.99, so you're getting 10 comics for $10. If you haven't read this, maybe this is a way to jump on board, you know, pick up the 10-pack, pick up the new issue that's coming in, and just go have a random read through it. I reckon that would be a really good idea for people, or if you want something as a gift, or whatever. But $10 for 10 comics, you can't go wrong. And if you haven't been reading the book, now it's your time to get on board. It's not just the TNA book that it used to be. Okay, back to Bob and John.
All right, now we switch over to the Marvel Previews catalog, and we'll go take a look at some of that stuff, starting with this clip from Harry.
Greetings, readers. This is Harry from the Next Issue Podcast. And from pages 10 and 11 of the Marvel Previews Guide, I bring to you Dark Reign. In the aftermath of Secret Invasion, there's a new world order. We were asked to embrace change. Now we will be forced to. For those of you that enjoyed reading the Secret Invasion series and the Avengers books that were tied into it, this, I think, is going to be an exciting book. And Brian Michael Bendis will be writing it. Pencils and covers will be done by Mike Deodato. And actually, for those that know a little bit or didn't know, since Brian Michael Bendis is going to be working on this series, Dan Slott, who wrote the amazing and wonderful New Ways to Die series with Spider-Man, is going to take over the regular Mighty Avengers run. And from what I saw with that particular storyline, it's going to be in pretty good hands. So basically, a couple of questions were asked of Bendis during the Baltimore Comic Con about what's going on in the direction of the new book. And pretty much, it's going to be one of those books where we're going to get an aftermath to the Secret Invasion. The world is just not going to, quote unquote, go back to more normal in the Marvel Universe after the Secret Invasion. We have hints that there will be some new characters that's going to show up. We also have some hints that the Superhero Registration Act is going to be dealt with and how it's going to affect the Marvel Universe still remains to be seen. One of the things I do predict is that it's going to cause some serious changes, not just to the Avengers teams, but teams like the Thunderbolts, who are under Governor auspices to track down heroes that weren't registered. I do believe that you're going to see supervillains like the Hood and his band of folk get dealt with, and maybe not in a way that we see. But I do believe that this is going to be a good series, and then with Deodato doing the artwork, he's going to set the tone, because this is supposed to be a darker series, hence the Dark Reign. So expect some serious drama coming out of this book. But also, we're going to get some other questions answered, like what's going to happen with Nick Fury and his team and the Iron Patriot. So I would say sit back and just wait patiently. This special should be dropping pretty soon. And enjoy. And this is Harry from the Next Issue podcast.
Okay. Well, you know, we have a lot of stuff here on page 11 of the Marvel catalog that is one of the I have mixed feelings on when Marvel does this. I don't like spoilers, but, you know, also when they have a whole bunch of solicits where it's just like, well, these solicits are classified, so here you go. It's the title and the creative team, and maybe that's all we really should need. But in the instance of Amazing Spider-Man number 584, what we've got is kind of a new world order for Spider-Man, and we've got John Romita Jr. back on the book also, which is always very popular, at least from my point of view. So this is tying into the Dark Reign that comes out of Secret Invasion. It's got John Romita Jr. back. This is one of our picks for an extra discount, 50% off this month. If you have not been reading Spider-Man after Brand New Day, or One More Day, rather, I'm not going to defend the whole Mysterio abolishing the marriage or anything like that. But what I will say is that I have been enjoying Amazing Spider-Man more than I have for years since the One More Day happened. So wasn't really that fond of the mechanism, but the result was a very good and positive result. So if you haven't been looking at Spider-Man lately, give it a try.
Yeah, particularly if you want stories that are just good Spider-Man stories versus big events or big Spider-Man events or whatever. They're really, you know, focusing on telling the best Spider-Man stories they can these days. So I totally agree with you there. And next up, we've got another thing from Harry. So let's listen to that.
Hello, readers. This is Harry from the Next Issue podcast, and I'm here to submit from page 28 of the Marvel Previews Guide for the month of November, the Black Panthers. And yes, although it is just a splash page telling us about this upcoming change, this is another of a series of changes that Marvel has done for their comics over the past couple of years. You've had the death of Captain America, you've had Spider-Man and Mary Jane breaking up after 20 years, and now it looks like another major change is going to take place in the comics, whereas the Black Panther, who's always been a male character, is about to change over, of course, to a female, kind of obvious. I have been following this series for a bit now. I went back and started picking up the trades and got very excited when I finally saw that they started taking the Black Panther in a very positive direction, blending a little bit of The Dark Knight and a little bit of Tony Stark and some Sherlock Holmes all into one character, and it's been a change for the good. And then when I saw this going on, oh, they're going to change Black Panther into a female, I'll be honest, I'm not exactly sure how I feel about it. Because on one hand, you know, change is needed. You know, it's always good to see that the comic creators want to keep a character fresh. But at the same time, with such a lag in sales from characters in a female lead, I'm not sure whether or not this is going to be something that's going to hurt the sales of the Black Panther books or not. And, of course, everybody's trying to figure out who's it going to be. My bet is going to be Shuri, Black Panther's sister, as it's been mentioned in the comics, unless there's another female out there that can take that role. I don't think they're going to do anything crazy or dumb like make it Storm or something like that. It just wouldn't even be right. So you could throw that one out the window. Furthermore, I don't know if any of you all know, and actually what I will do when I have some time, I will post it on the previews board of the forum. There was actually an article written up by Washington Post entitled This Just In, 2009's Panthers News Bombshell. And it goes through a small interview with Reginald Hudlin and Joe Quesada about the event. And actually, let me just read a quick blurb about Quesada's reaction to the change. He says, "It was a very cool idea, especially thinking about the legacy of the character. The fact that this is sort of a part of the Wakandan religion and their royal family, it was a neat approach to the Black Panther, and I think it will add a wonderful twist to everything." And then it goes on to say, "The news, of course, is sure to spark controversy among fans, not alike when Captain America began packing heat this year." And it goes on to explain a little further about how Reginald Huntland had a reaction to it and things of that sort. So it's going to be a good change, but how we react to it is up to us, and it will be noticeable on the newsstands and, you know, to the purchasing power of our dollar. That will be the ultimate answer. So that's my submission on the Black Panther S. Thank you.
Should be interesting, particularly next month when we actually get the solicitation for it. Definitely they're making some changes with that character. Our next pick is on page 32. It's another comic book page pick of the month. We've got a DCBS discount of 50% off for this, and it's Captain America number 46. For my money, this is one of the best titles that Marvel is producing these days. Ed Brubaker is just knocking it out of the park on a routine basis here. I mean, we got Steve Rogers killed off back in issue 25, and here we are, you know, over 20 issues later, and the story is still going incredibly strong, and really has been since this volume started. This is the start of a three-part storyline where the new Captain America comes face-to-face with Prince Namor. The cover on this is just outstanding, and I have no doubt that the interior of the book is going to be equally, you know, brilliant, both in terms of the story and the art. If you haven't been following Captain America, I really, really recommend doing so. This looks like it could be a good jumping on point since it's the first part of a new storyline. And like I was saying, this is, I think, one of the best books that Marvel's producing these days, and really one of the best books out there in general. Okay, next up, we've got another pick from Harry.
Hello all, this is Harry from the Next Issue Podcast, bringing to you from page 33 of the Marvel Previews Guide, Captain America, Theater of War, America the Beautiful. I am making a recommendation on this book because I recently picked up Theater of War Operation Zero Point, and I found that to be a fun read. Just plenty of action and excitement from the get-go, and a little bit of reflection on who Steve Rogers was during the Silver Age back in the 40s and 50s. Again, what makes this book a little bit different from some of the other things that you've read, you have Captain America in the Ultimates series, you have quote-unquote regular old Captain America from this day and age, and really when you read those, you have to understand that not only does Steve Rogers have to deal with being Captain America and fighting evil as it is now, but he has to deal with the timeline as it is now, and he has to make adjustments, and he has to do things to sort of fit in without looking so much like a fish out of water, but sometimes it just doesn't work out that way. These particular books, The Theater of War, examines Steve Rogers during the 40s and World War II doing what he does best. But while he's doing all that, you also get a glimpse at how his mindset is in fighting the war and asking himself if what he is doing is right and just in the eyes of those that are watching the war unfold, you know, watching people die and having to order men off to do these things. He's an extraordinary character, and he has to honor those that are not as extraordinary as he is, and these books will do this, I guess. Looks like it's going to be on a one-shot basis. There's also going to be some mysticism and the supernatural thrown in, some sci-fi, and you know, what good Captain America book is without all that? So you're going to get a lot of this out of these books, and I think these are going to be fun reads. They're pretty fast-paced with a lot of action in between, and the action scenes from what I saw from this one was pretty fun, and it pretty much just looked like a good scene out of a movie, and I'm hoping that when they get around to doing the movie that they take some of this into account. So pick it up and enjoy. This is Harry from the Next Issue.
Okay, thank you very much, Harry. And it is nice to see some stories going on that are the Steve Rogers Captain America, since he has, as John pointed out when he was talking about the standard Captain America, he's dead. So until he gets better. Next up, we have a book that has really outstripped my expectations when we had the handover from Matt Fraction, and that's the Immortal Iron Fist. When Dwayne Swierczynski took this over, you know, there was some trepidation, especially after how popular the Matt Fraction run had been. And it's been really, really good since then. The character is a good, solid character, and they've been telling great stories. And this issue, number 22, that's on page 41 of the Marvel catalog, is got a very intriguing solicit where we say, think you know everything there is to know about the seven capital cities of heaven? Well, maybe you do. But a couple of arcs ago, we did tease about there being an eighth city, and there you have it. Are we going to see the eighth city of heaven starting in this arc? That intrigued me enough that, and John as well, we're both big fans of this. DCBS is kind enough to give us the special discount on this book, 50% off. So if you have not been reading Iron Fist, this is a good jumping on point with issue number 22, because we got a new story arc starting up.
And we also reviewed issue 19 of that this week on the Weekly Comic Spotlight. So definitely highly recommended. Go check it out. On page 58 of the Marvel Previews, another item we got a 50% discount through DCBS on is Thor 600. Now, you're probably wondering, how did they go from issue, you know, in the low, you know, single or double digits to a three-digit 600? Well, of course, they flipped it back as they like to do. But hey, this book has been around for 600 issues in various volumes and stuff, and that is something special. Special enough, they even got Stan Lee to join in and write an all-new story, but we still get the great stuff from J. Michael Straczynski. How can you go wrong with this? It is 104 pages for $4.99. Yeah, a little expensive at $4.99, but again, 104 pages, 50% discount through DCBS. So I think it's excellent bang for the buck. Straczynski has really done a great job reestablishing the Asgard on Earth approach to Thor, and is just telling some great and deep stories that are connected to the Marvel Universe where it needs to be, and set aside enough that it doesn't get sidetracked by things it doesn't need to be. So it's a good blend of that, and something that's definitely worth checking out. Okay, next up, we've got another pick from Mike Myers.
This is Mike Myers again, and my Marvel selection for this month is Dead of Night featuring Werewolf by Night, issues 1 of 4. It's written by Dwayne Swierczynski with pencils and cover by Miko Cyan. And the blurb reads, for 28 days a month, Jack Russell leads a normal life. He's got a beautiful wife and a baby on the way. He's the picture of happiness. On day 29, however, he turns into an uncontrollable, bloodthirsty monster. But as the saying goes, the best laid plans of wolves and men. And I've been really enjoying the Dead of Night series. I really like what they did with the Man-Thing. They're kind of like retelling the origins of these characters in a Max-type format. And they have Devil Slayer, and that was also a really good comic, the issues that I've read to date. And I think they're going to do good with this book as well. And I've liked everything that Dwayne Swierczynski has been doing, so I think this is a good title to pick up, and the comic is 32 pages, the cover price is $3.99, and it's on page 79 of the Marvel Previews. And back to Bob and John.
I'm a big fan of the Jack Russell Werewolf by Night character. I have been skipping these Dead of Night books, though. It's the standard size comic for the $3.99, and you go out in the forum and hear me talking about that, I'm just kind of voting to not support the higher price for the standard 22-page comic. Another thing that we've talked about before, it's interesting when you read the solicits, you know, when they say 32 pages, and they really put the total page count, and that includes ads and in-house ads and letter columns or whatever else is in the book. Anything that says 32 pages is typically 22 story pages. We have mentioned that it would be nice if Marvel and the other publishers would actually start putting the number of story content pages as the metric here in their solicit.
Well, particularly after what they pulled on things like Astonishing X-Men Ghost Boxes number 1 or whatever, where it was only 16 pages of story plus the couple of pages of the script or whatever retelling the story.
Yeah.
And it was $3.99 too. so I can totally understand somebody skipping this based on the price. I'm not getting it, but I really don't tend to get much from the Max line. That tends to be a darker, grittier line than I prefer, but that's just my taste. That's also why there's not all that much from Vertigo I tend to get.
Yeah.
But certainly a good recommendation, and I can vouch, you know, in terms of the quality of the writer, because we just talked about his work over on Iron Fist. Next up, we've got a recommendation from Chris Johnson. Let's listen to that.
Hey, Comic Book Page podcast listeners, this is Chris Johnson with a previews pick that appears on page 95 of the Marvel Previews catalog for November, and that pick is Marvel 1985, the premiere hardcover. It was a 6-issue miniseries written by Mark Miller and penciled by Tommy Lee Edwards. And the basic premise of the story is the Marvel villains invading the real world in, as you might have guessed it, the year 1985. I thought that the story by Mark Miller was very well written. There were elements of fun in it. There were elements that were more serious, particularly the comic book villains acting like you would expect them to act in a real world setting. I thought that overall it was just a very well-crafted story on Miller's part. The art by Tommy Lee Edwards seems to have people divided. Some people think it was great. Some people it wasn't really their cup of tea. Personally, I thought his art was absolutely gorgeous. You know, every page was just fantastically, you know, well done. Overall, I think Marvel 1985 is a well-crafted story with phenomenal artwork and is definitely worth picking up in hardcover.
I will add my accolades to Chris's for the 1985 series. That has been an excellent, excellent series. And if you have not checked that out, picking up the collected edition is highly recommended. It was a good story.
And it's supposed to tie into the Old Man Logan stuff in Wolverine and the current story arc over in Fantastic Four. So if you're following those, you may want to consider this also.
Next up, and our final pick for Marvel, is on page 107. I find it interesting that it's kind of buried back here without a whole lot of attention to it, is the Secret Invasion Home Invasion trade paperback. And this is the first in-print collection of the Secret Invasion Home Invasion webcomic. I don't prowl around on the internet on the Marvel site to catch these things, so I totally missed this story. And I've been really enjoying the Secret Invasion event at Marvel, so I definitely am going to check this out. This has been one of the ones that we got a special discount on, so it's half off, 50% off. You can get this for $7.49 through DCBS. It's 104 pages. Usually a trade paperback is not full of ads, so 104 pages in a trade, with the exception of maybe some back matter, most of those are usually story pages. And this is involving a teenager from the suburbs who notices that her brother has been acting a little stranger than normal, as in writing notes to himself in a made-up language and keeping maps of Manhattan hidden under his mattress. That made-up language would be Skrullian. And then this is a ground-level perspective on the Secret Invasion Skrull stuff, you know, when some of the sleeper agents start activating, and one of them apparently is this girl's brother. Boy, those Skrulls are infiltrating lots of parts of our society. So I'm definitely going to be checking this out because I just like reading the different angles on the Secret Invasion story and how it affects the different parts of the Marvel Universe. And this is kind of a ground level view that we've not seen elsewhere.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this too, and it was one that, talking about being buried back here, I had, you know, missed it entirely, and if you hadn't pointed it out to me on the previews call we do, I might have missed it, not ordered it. And it's one of those things that if you flip back to page 104 in the Marvel catalog, they've got the spines of all the Secret Invasion books they're doing, because of course it's been all over the place, they're gonna, you know, collect all that stuff. I mean, there's like maybe 2 dozen of them or whatever, and, you know, easy to get lost on the shelf once it comes out. That pretty much wraps it up for the Marvel previews section. So we're going to dive into the back half of the previews catalog. And starting us off on this in Archie of all places, which is really cool, is Chris Johnson.
Hey, Comic Book Page podcast listeners. This is Chris Johnson with a pair of previews picks that appear on page 203 and 204 of the previews catalog for November, and those are the Archie and the Jughead Double Digest put out by Archie Comics. Now, I've been ordering these Double Digests for a couple of months now, and I just wanted to give a quick shout-out to them because we've, you know, all over the net there's talk and buzz about the rising price of comics, how there seem to be a lot more $3.99 books at Marvel that are 32 pages, and there's speculation that maybe $3.99 might be the norm for comic books. And I thought it was worth mentioning these Double Digests because these are 192 pages and only $3.69. Now, the stories in the Double Digest aren't anything huge. They're nothing universe-spanning or anything like that. They're just, you know, 192 pages of fun stories. It can be a good introductory book to kids to get them into comics. And with, you know, the rising, you know, the potential for the prices of comic books to rise, you know, the format this is in is really, you know, a good way to get the most bang for your buck.
Yeah, so, I mean, these have been around for a long time. I mean, I read Archie's when I was a kid, and you can pretty much pick up any Archie comic or Jughead or Betty and Veronica or any of these things and read the story and get right into it. They're not continuity laden. They're not anything that you have to put a whole lot of deep thought into, but they're entertaining for what they are, and getting 192 pages of comics for $3.69, that's a pretty darn good deal nowadays.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and a lot of their other stuff, their digests are down at $2.49 for 96 pages. Their regular comics at 32 pages are $2.25. I mean, they have kind of cheaper prices across the board. And I'm going to go ahead and check out that Betty and Veronica Spectacular, where they go out as spies or whatever.
Yeah, we're both going to get that, and I think we're going to talk about that on the show when it comes out.
Yeah, be fun to check out what Archie's doing. And, you know, because like you were saying, these things have been around for decades. They're clearly doing something right. Okay, our next pick is from Damien. Let's listen to that.
Hey guys, it's Damien back again with my random pick for the month, which is on page 218. It's one that just caught my eye just for the strangeness of it. It's Alan Moore's Neonomicon Hornbook. Now, I've never read The Courtyard before. This is the sequel to The Courtyard, so I'm interested in going back and seeing it. It's Alan Moore's take on the actual Cthulhu mythos and all of that side of things that was created by H.P. Lovecraft, and Alan Moore's writing it. Hey, you can't go wrong with Alan Moore writing something. So this is one that sort of, it really seems to be something that I'm going to love. I'm a big fan of the Cthulhu mythos stuff. You've actually got the standard covers going for $1.99. So even though it's only 16 pages, like a zero issue there for it. Hey, pick it up. Let's have a look, see what goes on. Not much I can say about it. Don't know much about the story. Don't know about what's actually happened beforehand, but it's something that just caught my eye. So if you're a fan of the Cthulhu mythos, if you want to see Alan Moore's take on it, this might be the way to do it. So jump on board with that, and yeah, can't beat $1.99 for the price.
Not a lot I can add to that, Damien, although, you know, I'm not a big fan of the Cthulhu stuff myself, but I think that there are a lot of people who are fans of it, and pointing out that this is in that world would be interesting to folks who are getting things like the Cthulhu Tales and the Fall of Cthulhu books that are coming out from Boom Studios right now. And speaking of Boom Studios, our next pick is page 224. It's from Boom Studios, and it is Hexed. Number 2, and this is about a girl named Lucifer, which is actually a contraction of her full name, which I'm not even going to try to pull out of my memory right now. However, we do have an interview with the writer Michael Nelson of Hexed on our Friday show, and we talk in much more detail about Hexed, and he whips out her name, rolls trippingly off his tongue, so you'll be able to hear that there. I've read the first issue of this already. Michael was kind enough to send a PDF file to us for review, and I really liked it. I'm going to be picking up this series. This looks like good stuff for me. It's kind of mild horror, kind of that darker, more it's kind of like a Vertigo-y kind of book, and in a good way. And I am really looking forward to seeing how this series turns out and actually seeing more series with this character. So check out our interview that's coming up on Friday for this one.
And just to toss in my two cents on this, I'm not much for horror or, you know, stuff that gets a little gory, whatever. And there's a little bit of gore in here due to the nature of the story. I mean, this is talking about a corpse door and stuff, and they mean that literally. It's a really good first issue. I really enjoy what I read and stuff. It's not the kind of thing I tend to gravitate to or tend to get, but despite all of that, it is something that if you're into this kind of a genre and this sort of storytelling, I do recommend. Definitely check out our interview and give this a shot. Okay, next up, we've got another submission from Mike Myers.
This is Mike Myers again from the Geek Brunch and DC Noise podcast. And the last book that I'm going to plug this month is from Devil's Due Publishing on page 243. It's called Hollow-Eyed Mary, original graphic novel. It's based on a best-selling novel. It's by Andre Duza with art by Rudolph Mottemeyer. I hope I didn't butcher that too bad. And the cover artist is Fred Moore. The blurb reads, "The future never looked as beaten up and hungover as this violent world filled with racist teenagers, masked assassins, cannibals, and a telekinetic hitman. A crazed killer is on the loose in what police have dubbed the Bloody Mary Murders. Their only suspect, an innocent single mother who claims to hold the truth behind an undead master and her horde of runaways. It's full color, 144 pages, $14.99, and it's an original graphic novel. It just sounded really cool. Sounds like a chaotic, futuristic tale, so I kind of like that, you know, road warrior, total chaos. We'll see how this goes. I haven't read the novel, but the art on the cover looked pretty cool. And I've been pretty happy with what Devil's Due has been putting out. I love Rest. I love what they've done with Halloween. Mercy Sparks has been really great. And so has Hack Slash. So give it a shot. I'm sure you'll get some kind of discount for it on DCBS. And if you want to get the podcast that I put out, go to dc-noise.blogspot.com or www.geekbrunchpodcast.com. Back to Bob and John, and thanks, guys, for letting me plug my 6 books this month. Take care. Bye.
And thanks for joining us. We have those links to his podcast in the show notes, and we look forward to hearing from you again next month. Moving on, we're back into the Dynamite Entertainment section with a pick from Ian Gowan.
Hello, this is Ian Gowan, Ian G, on the forums, and this is my pick for November previews 2008. It is Garth Ennis's Battlefields, Dear Billy number 1, and it's from Dynamite Entertainment. It's on page 249 of the previews catalog. And this is a new Battlefield story from Garth Ennis. The first one being The Night Witches, which just came out a couple weeks ago and was excellent. I thought it was a neat new take on a war story from a different perspective. Women fighting in World War II on the Russian side and the Germans, and a perspective from the Germans. And I think that this story will be similar to along the lines of that, but you just have a different story. It's a story about a nurse in 1942 and her perspective on World War II. Garth Ennis is currently writing The Boys for Dynamite Entertainment, and he's also writing The War Zone, Punisher of the War Zone for Marvel. The artist is Peter Snejberg. He's from Copenhagen, and as far as I can tell, he's only done the art on a couple issues of The Boys. Once again, I think this is going to be a great story. Again, excellent cover from John Cassaday. And I believe since it's a number one, it'll be on sale at a good discount from either DCBS or one of the other online retailers. Once again, it's Garth Ennis Battlefield, Dear Billy number 1. It's a long title, but I think it's going to be a good one. Thanks.
Peter Snejberg, I recognize that name. He's done, I don't remember off the top of my head, but he's done quite a few things floating around. And I think also, you know, this is going to appeal to anyone who likes any of Garth Ennis's war books. DC has done those before, and, you know, this is Dynamite's kind of picking up the general genre from Garth.
Okay, next up we've got some more from Harry. Let's listen to that.
Hello everyone, this is Harry from the Next Issue Podcast. And from page 250 of the November Previews Guide, I bring you Dynamite Entertainment's Black Terror number 4. And I'm going to try to sneak this one in since they are right next door to each other in this book. The Boys, number 26. Let's start off with Black Terror, number 4. Black Terror is one of those characters that I think is probably going to deserve a good book and a nice long run in this niche of retro heroes that they're bringing back. Just a little bit of back history. He was a character that appeared in Nador Comics from January of 1941. And this was just during that time of Golden Age characters when they came out, and some got picked up, some didn't. And now that we're going through this, I wouldn't necessarily say rebranding per se, as I would say just a retelling or reimagining of these stories, Black Terror was one of those characters that got picked up and tossed into the very good run of Project Superpowers. He was one of those characters that, as is told in Project Superpowers, was locked up in an urn during many years through the end of World War II and recently released, and of course wasn't too happy about what happened and decided to take his vengeance out on the one that did it to him, that being the Yank. Upon fulfilling of that, of course, now we have more exciting adventures of this man, the Black Terror. And so far, from what I've seen in Project Superpowers, he's had a very good role, and I mean, he just looks badass. You ought to check out the costume if you've never seen him. He just looks like someone that fits the name of the Black Terror. He has a sidekick, and together they're known as the Terror Twins. And he has various superpowers. What they are, they're too numerous to mention. I would just simply say read the book and find out for yourself. And this looks like this is going to be pretty good. If you enjoy Project Superpowers, you're liking the retro heroes that they're bringing back, this book is just another step into getting that fix. So I would definitely see pick it up. 32 pages, $3.50. Well worth the gallon of gas that is going to cost you to go run to your nearest comic shop and pick it up. Next up, since I am sneaking this one in, is The Boys, number 26, by Garth Ennis. Derek Robertson and John Higgins is doing a little throw-in work also. This is something that I have been following since I've gotten back in. One of my friends told me to get it. I wasn't sure of it. I picked up the first hardcover and been sucked in ever since. I am seriously, seriously enjoying this series. It's twisted, it's fun, it's a way to watch another company poke fun at all that we hold so dear. We've seen this series poke fun at the Justice League, the Teen Titans, the X-Men. We've learned the alternate history of the 9/11 attacks, and it's just been ugly. Every series, every issue of this book and this series that I've read drops something new. It just makes you say, oh damn. You just put it down with a little smirk on your face and you just say, damn. If you've never picked this up before, this is probably one of the hottest selling titles in Dynamite Entertainment. And I don't think issue 26 is going to be any different. This is part of the third arc of what they have going on, as the Boys further antagonize the quote-unquote establishment of Vault American and their line of superheroes that they're creating. Definitely check this out. Honestly, I would say if you are new to this series, you definitely have to pick up the trades first, so that way you can understand exactly what's going on. This is not something you can jump in on the middle of. You have to understand it from beginning to end, and it's highly recommended. I would say if my wife, who is not big on comic books, loved this series and is waiting for me to run out sometime today to go get her the trade of number 3, likes it, you, the big hardcore comic collector, will like it. So hop on it while you can, enjoy it, love it. And every time you see someone pick up Justice League or X-Men, smirk and keep it moving. And this is Harry from The Next Issue, and I'm out.
Thanks for those recommendations, Harry. I'm enjoying The Boys. It's certainly not an all-ages title by any stretch of the imagination. It's definitely for either mature or, depending how you want to see it, immature readers, but it's a lot of fun. And I'm really liking everything that Dynamite's doing over in the Project Superpowers stuff, and I'm looking forward to both the Black Terror and Death-Defying Devil. So I think they're going to be doing some fun stuff in all of those titles. Jumping from Dynamite over to IDW, our next pick is on page 279. We've got a DCBS discount of 50% here. It's another comic book page pick, and it's Star Trek Countdown number 1. And yeah, you can tell it was named probably by the guys on the movie side versus the comic side by that whole countdown inclusion. This is setting up the new motion picture that's coming out from Paramount, and it's presented by J.J. Abrams, Alex Kurtzman, and Robert Orci, who are some of the people behind the actual movie. J.J. Abrams is the writer and director of it, I believe. This is going to kind of set up and tie into that movie, which is why I'm, you know, interested and excited about it. I think IDW's been doing some really good stuff with the Star Trek franchise, and, you know, I'm really looking forward to the next movie. You know, it's $3.99, again, half off. That should help. It's 32 pages. Should be some good stuff if you're a Star Trek fan.
Sounds good. And the next up, we've got also from IDW on page 281, The Presidents of the United States. This is a trade paperback. It's 96 pages. And it is Ben Temple Smith, who I love Ben Temple Smith's work on both his art on things like 30 Days of Night plus Fell, and his writing and art on things like Wormwood, Gentleman Corpse. And here he's serving up a collection of portraiture featuring all of the United States presidents. Well, I guess he's not going to have Barack Obama, but up to the W, we'll have an unprecedented look at the personalities of the men who led the world's largest democracy. And I'm just really looking forward to kind of seeing kind of a short Ben Temple Smith take on a little bio of president, plus a Ben Temple Smith picture of all of our presidents. And that is something that is definitely on my list to get. This is a DCBS special discount for us, 45% off the normal price of $19.99 rather. And if that sounds at all entertaining to you, please check it out.
And it's conceivable he may have Barack Obama in there. He's got enough time to do.
I just didn't know if it was something that was already in the can or not, so...
Yeah, he only had to do one for Barack and McCain, so, you know, he could even have it in the can. But certainly should be interesting, and I'm curious if it'll have that or not. On page 298 from the Outer Spaceman LLC, we've got another pick of the Outer Spaceman graphic novel. We interviewed writer Eric Hayes and the publisher and owner of the property, Gary Schaefer, and had a really good discussion with them. They are incredibly passionate about this project, and you can listen to all of that on our Friday episode. This is a 160-page graphic novel, full color. We've seen, what, the first 40 or so pages?
Yeah.
And good solid art, particularly for a new small press publisher and stuff. Price is $21.95, but again, you know, you're getting 160 pages for that. It's kind of a retro sci-fi take on, you know, what if there were life on all the other planets and they'd formed a kind of a coalition to keep the solar system safe. And it looks like it could be a lot of fun. So check out our interview on Friday. We're going to have a bunch of links in the show notes for that episode where you can find out some more about it. And check it out.
Yeah, and when you look at some of these graphic novels, especially original graphic novels, and we've talked about several of them, look at the price per page, because even if something's, you know, $22, but it's 168 pages, you know, getting 22 pages for $3, you're getting pretty much 8 times the number of pages. You know, so if you looked at a regular comic book, it would be $24 to get the same number of pages. So it's right in line with that.
Well, and, you know, versus splitting it across like a mini-series or something, you're getting it all in one shot. No delays, no waiting, all that kind of stuff. And no ads.
Yeah, and this is interesting because, you know, a lot of people wait for the trade, and this is an interesting point when you think about it. If they went away from the monthly format to just going direct to trade, you would see these kinds of price points for this amount of material. I mean, that's just what you'd be seeing. And this is something that would be ideal for people who are interested in kind of 50s retro sci-fi and, you know, wouldn't want to wait for an 8-issue series and they can get the whole thing all at once.
Okay, next up, we've got another submission from Damien.
Hey guys, it's Damien from Cryptographica, and welcome to Heavenside, back with my last pick for the month. And this is one I actually have to blame Bob and Jod for actually getting me onto. It's City of Dust number 4. Now, if you haven't picked up number 1 yet, and number 2 should be due out any week now, as far as I know, I haven't been to the shop for a while since I'm recording this, but yeah, I love this book. If you're a fan of the actual movie Equilibrium, it is that sort of setting. Basically, they've figured out that all cause for war and discontent has been with imagination and religion. So they have been banned. You cannot read any fiction books. So if we were living in that world, we wouldn't be able to read any comics, unfortunately. But basically, you only have the facts and that's it. So even telling the story of like the tortoise and the hare, just to say, you know, slow and steady wins the race or whatever you'd like, that isn't correct because these things can't be done. Yeah, basically it's poisoning the youth of the city's mind or the world's mind. There's also some underlying tones in there. As I said, I've only read the first issue so far, and there seems to be some sort of monster sort of going around and killing people, but it's an awesome look. Like, I'm thinking it's a cross between monster movie, you have Equilibrium, as I said earlier, and maybe even Minority Report sort of thing. So it's a bit further in the future. So honestly, if you haven't been picking this up, grab it. If you want to see a more in-depth review of it, I actually wrote one up and posted it on the forum. So there's some incentive for some of the guys that haven't been to the forum to go and check that out. I've also posted that up on my blog, but I wrote it for the forum, so go and check it out, page 300, Radical Publishing, and there's 3 different covers there. You can choose which one you want. Okay, back to you guys, and I'll talk to you all next month.
Thank you for that, Damien. I've got the first issue of City of Dust, haven't had time to read it yet, but so far I've been liking everything Radical's been coming out with.
Oh, the first issue is really nice. I haven't gotten to number 2 yet, but the first issue hit it out of the park for me. I love Steve Niles, who's writing this. The artist is doing a great job. Artist is Zid. You know, I don't know where Singapore mostly, but I mean, I was going to say, I don't know where Radical finds all these great artists, but I mean, they find some phenomenal talent. And even on that Outer Spaceman that you just talked about, you know, they went and they did kind of a worldwide talent search and found this artist in, I forget where he said, like Argentina or someplace. Listen to the interview and you'll hear that. But I mean, there's just been some great, great art coming out of these Radical books.
And yeah.
You've got another one of those to talk about.
Yeah, the other one, which is the other thing Radical's offering this month, is Shrapnel number 1. It's a comic book page pick of the month over at DCBS, so it's got a 50% discount. It's a really an epic saga. This is part of a 5-issue miniseries, which is the first of 3 miniseries that tells this huge epic saga. We interviewed Mark Long and Nick Sagan, the creators and visionaries behind this. And we'll have that on our Friday episode. And they've got a really cool sounding story kind of mapped out for the whole thing. They've got a very clear direction they want to go in, very clear vision on the artistic style and tone and structure of the story and the universe. And really seem to be doing a really good job of turning that into a reality. And it sounds like it's just going to be an excellent comic book series. So check that out on our the interview on our Friday episode. Again, 50% discount. This is a 48-page first issue, but Radical's being very nice and offering it for $1.99. So through DCBS, 99 cents is going to get you a 48-page full color with just, you know, amazing art from the Imaginary Friends Studios, you know, with some really great writing. So definitely highly recommended.
This is another one where if you're any kind of a comic customer, $1.99 for 48 pages. And those, you know, those are really 48 pages because there's not tremendous numbers of ads in a Radical comic book. And DCBS 99 cents for this, you would be crazy not to throw this on for a buck or two onto your pull list to check this out. Well, I'll modify that with, I mean, it is a sci-fi story. So, I mean, if you totally hate sci-fi, then you don't want to, you know, you're not going to want to read this at any price. But if you like sci-fi and, you know, mechas and, you know, that kind of stuff at all, you've got to pick this thing up.
Well, I would say if you like, even if you're not into sci-fi, if you like kind of Greek-Roman war story type stuff, this will have a sci-fi set dressing on top of it, but some of the themes, some of the storylines, that kind of stuff may echo that. So just like the Battlestar Galactica TV show is more of a war show than a sci-fi show, if you can get past the set dressings, you'd like it on those grounds too. Definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, definitely.
And our final submission for the month is from Scott Cedarlin. Let's listen to that.
Hi there, this is Scott from Wednesday's Hall. In this preview show, I'm going to actually talk about two books, and I hope the guys don't mind my sneaking two books into one segment, but the way I'm writing that off is they're both by the same creator. Now that Viz Comics, or manga, or whatever they're called, Viz Media, is wrapping up Naoki Urasawa's Monster, the 18th volume should be out next month in December. February, we'll see the release of two of Urasawa's follow-up series to Monster, and two that are probably, for all intents and purposes, even better than Monster. First up, I don't even necessarily say first up, they're both due on the same day, February 18th. But, well, let's go first, is Urasawa's 20th Century Boys, Volume 1, which the greatest way I have had to describe 20th Century Boys is Stephen King meets Grant Morrison. It's the story about a group of friends, a group of childhood friends, and when they were kids, they had this the great little fantasy world of their own, and they figured out a way that in this fantasy world, the world would be destroyed. The bad guys would take over the world. And now they're older, in their 20s and 30s, have family, have careers. All of a sudden, the ways they thought of as kids start happening, and this cult show turns up that seems to be doing what they thought, like, as kids, what they thought a doomsday cult should be doing. So it's a great series. I think it's going to be about 22 volumes altogether, 21, 22. Eventually it turns its name to 21st Century Boys. But the first volume will be out, and if you've liked Monster, this is Monster, which is kind of this mystery, action thriller type thing. This 20th Century Boys goes in a different direction where it becomes more of, I guess the best way to describe it is the Stephen King type thriller. A very suspenseful, a very character driven piece. Then, also on the same day, is Pluto, or as they're calling it, Pluto, Urasawa times Mizaki, Tezuka. Pluto, Urasawa by Tezuka, Volume 1. Which actually takes one of Osamu Tezuka's Astro Boy stories. The Strongest Boy on Earth, I think it is. I'm trying to remember. I've got the book around here somewhere. I'm not seeing it. But it's Astro Boy Volume 3, which should be up from Dark Horse pretty soon. A story about where the greatest robots in the world and the greatest heroes are starting to be destroyed. And where the original story was obviously a focus on Astro Boy and him dealing with it. Pluto actually focuses on a detective, Geshitz, who's assigned to to these robotic murders, if you will, and it's his story. Now, I've read some scanlations of Pluto, and there's some great, fantastic storytelling going on. Pluto actually reminds me the storytelling, the way Urasawa takes Tezuka's story and starts telling it in his own way. The storytelling actually reminds me a lot let's say, like the span of issues 85 to 200 of Dave Sim's Cerebus. There's just something, how he crafts the story, how he paces it out, and he tells it, that really reminded me of Dave Sim's storytelling and some of his strongest work on Cerebus. So, and I honestly, I don't know how many volumes Pluto is going to be. But the great thing is both of those come out, even though they're in the January previews, they come out in February, February 18th. And they're going to be two great books. They're going to be two great series to finally see here in the States. So you can find out more about them by going to www.vizsignature.com. They're part of the Viz Signature line. So check them out. They're $12.99 a piece and on page 319 of the latest previews. And feel free as well. I know at WednesdaysHall.com and at PopSyndicate.com, I'm going to probably be trying to review and write about each and every volume of these. So hopefully every other month we'll be talking or writing or doing something about Urasawa and two masterpieces of modern, recent masterpieces of manga. Thanks, and talk to you next month.
And I want to thank Scott for pointing this one out to me, because this is another one that I missed. I have really, really been enjoying Naoki Urasawa's Monster manga series, and I'm going to be checking out the first volume of 20th Century Boys that's coming out here and see how I like that as well. This is another one where, you know, you get a decent bang for your buck. It's $12.99, but it's 216 pages, so you're getting a decent amount of story in there. Reprints, of course, from Japan, but I mean, I wasn't reading the original material over there, and it was in Japanese, which I can't read, so it's all new to me. So as far as I'm concerned, it's 216 pages of new material for the price. So
yeah,
I'm going to be trying that one out. And I think the last thing we've got is we have Eagle Moss in the UK that's been putting out these little painted lead figures of Marvel characters for several years. They started about a year ago putting out DC characters in the UK, and they're finally making their way to the US. And this month on page 339 of the previous catalog, you'll see the first set of these to be solicited here for the U.S. And it's, various people have asked me about this because they see my room and they know that I buy this stuff, and I talk about picking up the Marvel ones on our weekly comic spotlight all the time. So they're like, wow, are you going to get these? And it's like, well, I'm going to get some of them. And I started the Marvel way this way too, so who knows, I might end up getting all of them ultimately. But for right now, I'm pretty much going to get the Justice League members and maybe some of the women. So out of the ones that are solicited here on 339, they're soliciting, well, they've got a Dark Side, which is $26, which usually these are a little more oversized. I know that like the Hulk, for instance, on the Marvel one was over $20, and it was like pretty big size figure. I'm not going to get the dark side though, but I'm going to get Batman and Superman, and I'm going to get Donna Troy. And then of the other ones that are solicited this month, you got the Joker, the Spectre, and the Creeper. They all look really nice. And I went out to their website and looked at it, and they've got a whole bunch of them out there too. They got a lot of Batman villains, and they all look really, really nice, but they're $14 a piece. If you bought one of each one of these and one of each one of the Marvel ones, it would be over $200 just for these things. And it's like, wow. I know they've made all these things, but they might want to think about not assailing us with so many of them at the same time. I think putting out two a month, you know, at a $14 price point, maybe three, you know, if they put out Batman and Superman and then the $26 Dark Side, that might have been a little more in line. But to put out six of these things plus the Dark Side, plus they're putting out four from Marvel, which includes an oversized Man-Thing figure, on the Marvel side. That's just a lot to absorb in 1 month.
Well, and also they've got like 9 or 10 offered agains on the Marvel side. So if you're going through the order form, you just see this huge, you know, wave of, you know, 20 or 30 figures between the two. And that's just a lot all at once. Granted, a lot are offered again.
And I'm imagining, I guess, you know, the Marvels are $12, the DCs are $14, so DC must be charging more for the license, I'm going to imagine. I am going to guess that the production has got to be pretty much the same for, you know, whether I'm carving the Vision or Superman, you know, there's not a whole lot of difference. It's just how much is Eagle Moss having to pay Marvel versus how much are they having to pay DC that's going to make a difference, I think, on the price that they offer it at.
Or they may have figured that it was a new product line and therefore easier to introduce a price hike there.
Yeah, that's a good point. Than, you know, raising the price on something that's in flight.
Yeah.
Although there doesn't seem to be any end in sight on the Marvel ones, unfortunately for me.
Yeah. It's not like either company's the shortage of...
There are a lot of Marvel characters, you know. It's like the only thing they're going to do to get me to stop getting them is if they start going back and repeating characters in like maybe a different pose or something. I'm not really going to go and buy, you know, another Thor or something where he's holding his hammer up over his head instead of down by his side or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
But they're very nice. And for people who are not as ridiculous as I am, you know, you can pick up, you know, especially if you have some modicum of stealth restraint, you know, pick up one or two of these for characters that are your favorite characters. They are very nice looking. You know, for instance, if you're a Batman fan, you could pick up, you know, Batman and Robin and Nightwing and some of the Batman bad guys, you know, like they got the Joker, they've got Ra's al Ghul coming out, Scarecrow, you know, a variety of these, and you could have a nice Batman display and just kind of keep yourself to that. Or if you just like, for instance, what I'm going to try to do is, you know, the Justice League, you know, Batman, Superman, Flash, Green Lantern, Green Arrow, you know, I'll get Hawkman, Martian Manhunter, Wonder Woman, and just get the core Justice League characters, and you can have a nice display of just that. So that brings us to the end. What was your damage this month, John?
See, my damage was, I think, about 175 items, coming up to $696.18 at retail, which after discount and shipping goes down to $444.30, which is about a 36.18% discount. That's as my order stands now. I've got a couple of things that I'm debating, like the Modern Masters volume on Chris Sprouse, and it's remotely possible I may take one or two things off my list also, but that's where it stands at the moment. How about you?
My retail came in at $1,129.95, so let's say $1,130. And after all the discounts and shipping, it came in at $747.46, which is about a 34% discount. A little lower than usual, but between the classic, you know, those, I was just talking about the classic Marvel figures, right? After my 25% discount on those, I've got about $124 worth of those after discount, which is $166 before discount. And that's just getting a couple of the DC ones. But I'm getting a couple of the binders to put the magazines in and a couple of the display bases. And that sets me back a little bit. Plus, there are a couple of Bowen busts this month. The Mangog and Cloak and Dagger, which are both kind of oversized. The Cloak and Dagger is obviously a double figure. It's got Cloak and Dagger. It's $100 retail. So that'll set me back $75 after my discount. And the Mangog is $80, which will be $60. So, I mean, realistically, just those figures and stuff at the back of previews, not counting any of my comics or anything, that's about $260 after discount. So if I take those out, I'm kind of in line with what you're spending.
Well, I think the huge difference in our buying habits is, again, and we've talked about this before, no doubt we'll talk about it again, is you tend to buy a lot of the higher ticket items.
Yeah.
You know, while you were going over all that, I filtered my list down to everything I've got that's over $5. There's like 9 items, 10 if you count the weekly shipping from DCBS.
You are getting more items than me, too, because I'm only getting 141 items. You know, so I've been cutting back on the comics, but I haven't been cutting back as much on these other ones. Like, for instance, one thing I'm getting, which I don't think you are, is that Captain Britain omnibus coming out from Marvel, which we didn't talk about particularly. But this is something that's a $99 price tag, you know, 40% discount, still $60. But for me, this is a good one because it's mostly reprinting the Marvel UK stuff, which I never got any of the Marvel UK stuff. And it's 680 pages of Captain Britain stuff from mostly Marvel UK. It's got a couple of, you know, it's got a New Mutants annual and X-Men annual and things like that. But most of the material in there is from the UK.
That was one that I had considered. But, you know, it's... You know, $100 retail, and you know, I didn't want to be spending that much on one item, but certainly that was one that was very tempting. But yeah, I mean, you know, again, I tend not to get too much in the way of the trades and collected editions, and really, I just thought that, you know, this month there are a couple of things I tossed in because if it's a, you know, hey, it looked interesting, whatever, and it still feels like my total wound up being, you know, less than it often is. And I'm trying to cut back a little. I'm not making, you know, any radical or harsh cuts at the moment, but I am trying to be a little more aware of what new titles I'm adding to my list each month, because I went through and categorized everything I'm getting in terms of, is it a limited series? Is it ending? Is it something I'm already planning on dropping? Or am I just sampling it? And, like, over half the money I'm spending was on stuff that was limited series, which really surprised me. So if I can, you know, get some of that under a bit more control, I could be cutting back my spending.
I am really, really cutting back on my limited series from Marvel, especially, and I'm going to pay particular attention to this moving forward, any 22-page miniseries that is $3.99, I'm just not going to get.
You know, as much as I dislike that price point for that page count, frankly, I'm not much of a bigger fan of, well, like what they've done on Big Hero 6, where it's, again, that standard 20, 22 pages a story, plus an 8, 10-page backup, which is reprinted out of, you know, the old Marvel Comics Presents, so I've got it and I've read that story, plus some Uhatmu pages. So they're at least giving me more for the money, but it's not more that I care about. And again, we've talked about this on the forum a lot of, you know, what can these publishers be doing to either cut down the need for charging that $3.99, whether or not they give us the other material, or what could they do if they have to do that to make it more acceptable to us? Because $3.99 for 22 pages of new story is a tough sell. Even with a 40% discount at DCBS, there comes a point where, you know, it's just too much. And, you know, the publishers obviously aren't solving this problem to our satisfaction. So let's see if we can give them a hand.
I mean, that was the tipping point for me on that Werewolf by Night, for instance. I would have normally gotten that.
Yeah.
But I looked at it and I was like, okay, $3.99, it's a standard 22-page story. I'm not going to be starting those up anymore. And, you know, maybe I'll find those books down the line. Maybe I'll get the trade. I don't know.
But that cardstock cover didn't convince you to get it?
Nope.
Gee, go figure.
No, throwing a cardstock cover on something does not warrant the dollar price hike on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that does it then. Again, this is just scratching the surface of what's both in previews and obviously what Bob and I are each getting. If you have any questions on other stuff, head to our forum and ask away. Either we or some of our other listeners can answer those. If you've got suggestions on what we should cover when the next previews come out, by all means, send in a submission. If you need help on how to do that, ask on the forum. We'll be happy to help you. We want this to have as many submissions as possible from as many different people covering as many different items, because there's a ton of great comics coming out with the price on some of these things going up, with the economy going down. We want to give as much information as possible and as many opinions as possible to make some of these hard decisions. In some cases, some of what you guys have said have swayed me to get something I might not have otherwise gotten, or in a few cases, vice versa. But in either case, our goal here is to make sure that people are getting the most enjoyment out of their money. So if you can help us do that, we certainly appreciate that. And with that, I think we'll call it an episode.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.